morning. It's the joy and privilege and honor to be back in Gainesville with you. All last week, we were pretty much for the majority of last week away at a New Church Leadership Institute training in Lakeland, and in the room with about 12 other pastors or families or so. And what a joy it is to be at Trinity. I just want to say thank you for the outstanding work and ministry and job that you do week in and week out. And we heard a lot of testimonies around the table. And I'm not bragging, but there really is no other place like Trinity. And that's thanks to you. Put your hands together for yourselves for being such an awesome congregation. Today I'll be ministering briefly from the thought a few miles from a miracle. As you all recall, Dan last week began with Mary by way of Nazareth. And we're working through Adam Hamilton's book, The Journey on the Road to Bethlehem. And this week we're going to focus on Joseph in Bethlehem. Joseph in Bethlehem. So stay tuned for that. There are a few scriptures that I want to begin with. I want to start with Luke chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 first. And secondly, we'll look at Matthew verses chapter 1 verses 18 through 24. Listen carefully to the word of the Lord. And after the scriptures are read, we'll then go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll get into the message for this morning. Listen carefully to these words. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Okay, and the second one, just to give you some further context, the biblical background from the Gospel of Matthew, listen carefully to these words. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You may want to underline, Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. We're going to revisit that. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We'll stop right there, and let us just bow now for a brief moment of prayer. Gracious God, we indeed, we thank you for the Advent season, a season where we, with anticipation, expect the forthcoming of Jesus Christ. We understand that centuries ago you were born. And God, we welcome your presence to give birth to someone's heart this morning, that someone will come to know you in a fresh way. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my rock and my radical redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, Dan talked about Mary from Nazareth, and so the focus for today is really coming from Adam Hamilton's book. If you haven't purchased a copy, I believe some are available in the bookstore. It's really a great read. He does a good job in elaborating on the genealogy and the anthropology of Bethlehem, these biblical places, which really crop the birth story. So listen carefully for his content throughout this message. Let me begin by just sharing, if it were not for the early prophets who were intentional in hearing from God, early writings could never have indicated that a local birth could become a global blessing. Let me repeat that. If it were not for the early prophets who were intentional in hearing from God, early writings could never have indicated that a local birth could have become a global blessing. That's to say, the local birth of Jesus in little Bethlehem, just a small area, became a global blessing for all the world. To deduce this bit this point a bit further, our premise for this morning is born from that principle that great things are often the result of very humble beginnings. Not only great things, but great people. Great ideas, great endings often begin from very minuscule and humble beginnings. Amen, church. As Dr. Robert Cade, who invented the sports drink, Gatorade, started it right here locally in Gainesville. But his local invention has now become a global phenomenon. In 2000, we were privileged to travel to Africa at the Pastoral Care and Counseling Conference in Cameroon, Yaounde, Africa. And we went in Africa by way of Paris. And I remember boarding a different flight, and I went to the little store that they have in the airports there, and I was able to buy a Gatorade. Got over into Africa, and the custom is so differently. You sit in the elder's house, and they come out with beverages. And they had Coca-Cola products and Pepsi products. But they also brought out Gatorade. And my point again is a local invention has now become a worldwide phenomenon. So as we think about the context of Bethlehem, the local birth of Jesus in little small Bethlehem, 500 to 1,000 people, has now become a global blessing for all the world. Isn't that good news, church? How God can take something local and make it global. Multi-billion dollar umpires all start, catch this, with one single penny. A million mile journey to run begins with the first single step. And that's why we should never underestimate the local setting, the local businesses, the local family and friends, the local schools. Because God oftentimes will work through the local and cause the local to become global. And so as I mentioned before, great things and great people and great endings often begin from very minuscule and humble beginnings. And so today we begin with the context of Joseph's beginning by way of Bethlehem. Thanks to Adam Hamilton, he's given us the background, the setting, the context, if you will, of a small Bethlehem. It was a well-known town. It was a village of perhaps 500,000 people in Joseph's day, not very large. The majority were working class who catered to the needs of those in Jerusalem. It was the home of laborers and shepherds and carpenters. Bethlehem was also the home of several farmers who grew wheat and barley. And also millers and bakers. They were known for their manufactured goods. And they would transport these goods 80 miles north to Nazareth, to Jerusalem. It was about a four-day journey, but it's really, in our time, 2 hours away. Bethlehem literally means house of bread. House of bread. So we thank God to Adam Hamilton, who's given us all of this background. And in addition to that, he gave us the genealogy connection. He gave us the proof that little David, who was just a shepherd boy, found on the backside of the mountain, shoveling sheep sureness, you get the point, sheep sureness, was the eighth son. And when the prophet Samuel came forth to find the new king to rule Israel, he asked Jesse, David's father, if he would bring out all of his sons. Here it is. David was just a little insignificant kid in the background, on the backside of the mountain, tending to the sheep. And when Samuel came forth, he was looking for the new king to anoint. And he asked, is this all of your sons? And Jesse says, well, no, there is one more. He's shepherding the sheep right now. He says, well, bring him forth. We'll sit down and we wait. And they waited until David came from the backside of the mountain to the home of where they were gathered. And when David walked in the room, Samuel was prompted to anoint him as king of Israel. Here it is. Great endings often have very minuscule beginnings. David is now hailed. Bethlehem is now known as the city of what? David. You see this? David was just an insignificant kid, and it gets even better because if you dig further in history, you'll find that his great-grandmother Ruth was also insignificant. She was from the land of Moab, and when she became a widow, her and Naomi journeyed to Bethlehem. And they began to work the fields, Boaz's fields. Well, Boaz fell in love with Ruth, and they became married, and they had a son by the name of Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse, David's father, And once again, David came up through that lineage. And so when you read that Joseph is of Bethlehem and the line of David is showing you the connection. It's showing you the succession. Amen, church? Did you get that picture? So back to the main premise. Great endings have very humble and minuscule beginnings. So let me now take you to the text in Matthew 1, 18 through 24. I won't read all of it, but I just want to now zone in into Joseph at this time. This is how the birth of Jesus, Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, catch that, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, this bothers me, because if you look in history, oftentimes Mary is held the mother of God. But we never hear Joseph given credit as being hailed the father of God. You may hear that he's a stepfather. It kind of goes back to that Mother's Day and Father's Day discrimination. That on Mother's Day, they had all kind of problems. We will roll out the red carpet and put all the bells and whistles and Mother's Day card and nice music is in the background. Roses are on the counter. But when it comes to Father's Day, where are my men, Dad? Come on. Where are my men? When it comes to Father's Day, we may get dessert. We may get a card or two. So Joseph, in this case, I'm just being humorous here, he gets the short end of the stick. But Mary is hailed Mother of God. But check out the text. Let's learn a little further what Joseph actually did. The Bible says that he was pledged to be married to Joseph. She was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, where are my men this morning? How many of you, don't answer aloud, would have bought that? How many of you, I want you to feel that pressure, would have agreed to stay in the relationship and your wife comes up and say, hey, good news, I'm pregnant? How many of you would stay in that relationship? Now, this is the deeper point. If you look at closely at Joseph, it reveals Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. This brings up a dilemma. It brings up that Joseph was really juxtaposed between two things. He was juxtaposed between his love and loyalty for Mary, and he was also sandwiched between his logic of law. Can you bring up Deuteronomy chapter 2? Is it? Deuteronomy 22, 23, and 24. It says, catch this now, it fits Mary's description. If a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married, and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and do what? And do what? Stone them to death, the young woman because she was in a town and did not scream for help, and the man because he violated another man's wife. You must purge. It didn't suggest it. You must purge the evil from among you. Which means, when we read that Joseph was trying to hide her from public disgrace, he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph was not only saving Mary from public disgrace, Joseph was actually saving Mary from public execution. That's a different dynamic within what Joseph was contending with. I think that Joseph deserves a few more props, a few more high fives, because he stood the test of time. And catch this. If it were not for Joseph, the Messiah could have been born. Because in our minds, I mean, every common fellow would have said, no, Mary, we're going to be divorced. And by the way, tomorrow morning, you will be stoned to death. Let's just keep it real. She would have been stoned to death. But because of something special in Joseph, because of something that was innately created in Joseph. Joseph, in verse 24, arose the next morning after the angel had told him, you don't have to be afraid to take Mary as your wife. He immediately got up and he married Mary. He ought to be given credit for that. And so when I was in my prayer closet this week and trying to figure out, because we were 3 days in Lakeland, God, I need a way to bring this message on home, because a lot of people really don't calculate the significance of what Joseph did. God gave me a personal experience on the way home. And now, I know we're talking about the journey, but I'm going to tell you about the Allen's journey on the way back home from Fort Lauderdale. We had to go to Lakeland. Our kids went to Fort Lauderdale after Thanksgiving with my parents because Courtney and I had this 3.5-day training in Lakeland. So we had to drive to Fort Lauderdale, get them, and come on back. And on the way back, I let Courtney get the first shift so that I can take a nap and review my notes for this morning. And 3 hours out of nowhere, it sounded like the motor was falling out of the car. And what happened was the strap that holds the gas tank in place came unloose. And so the metal strap was jagging against the road. And so we didn't know what was going on. A lot of our braces said, hey, pull over. Pulled over, and I looked up under there, and that strap was pointed down in the road. So I had to prop it back up and cruise to a service station. And when we got to the service station, we got all the kids out, and I jacked up the car and was able to get up under it, and the gas tank was leaning down because that strap had become unloose. So I was looking around. I went to a police officer, and he couldn't help me. He didn't have any nuts and bolts to get it propped back. And then I looked over to my left, and there were some construction workers, and I went to the first construction worker, and he didn't speak English. No, I forget how he said it, but anyway, he pointed me to another construction worker, and I went to him, and he was working hard drilling siding on the side of a wall. And I tapped him on the shoulder. I explained the problem, and I said, well, do you have any nuts that I can borrow or use? So he gave me a fat screw, and it didn't work. Went back under there, it wrong size, so I went back to the side of the body, but it wrong size. And he gave me a long, long screw, and I just knew, okay, I'm just wasting my time. He says, just try it, and if I have to cut it, I can cut it down for you, but just try it. So I went back up under the car, and my kids were sitting, and they were watching me and Courtney, and so I was back up under the car, and I was trying to push this gas tank, and it was so heavy, I couldn't get it all the way up. And finally, Grace came because he began to walk over to the car, and he got up under the car with me. I couldn't ask Courtney to get up under there. So he got up under there, and we together pushed the gas tank up, and we were able to bolt the strap together in place. And because of that, we were able to make it home within 3 hours. Now, here's my point. God gave me a revelation about that experience. You pray and you receive. Here's the revelation. That man was in the right place at the right time, had the right knowledge, and the right skills, and the right posture. And because of his willingness, he became a means of salvation for me and my entire family. Look at Joseph. Joseph was in the right place, at the right time, had the right level of humility, had the right posture and the right openness, and because he was there and willing, the Messiah was able to be born. In other words, because Joseph's posture, the Messiah, salvation was able to come. A local phenomenon, a local birth in Bethlehem has now become what? A global phenomenon, a blessing for all of the world. Everyone who pronounces and calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved because of what Joseph did. See, you don't give Joseph that kind of credit, do you? But because of what Joseph did, we are now all able to experience the precious gift of God's salvation. Amen, church? So what is it that Joseph had? Last 3 points, and I'm out your way. The first thing I want you to get is this. God often leads you to a destination you can't see from your current location. You'll only get a better idea of where he's taking you after you start moving. Notice verse 24, immediately after the angel departed, Joseph woke up and he took Mary as his wife. He didn't wait. He didn't have a debate. He didn't have a pity party. He didn't grow faint-hearted in the faith, but he immediately woke up and he took Mary as his wife. What about you? The second thing that Joseph brings to the table, Joseph became comfortable with uncertainty. Catch this now. Most of us would be uncomfortable with uncertainty. But Joseph proves his noble character in that he trusted God by becoming comfortable with uncertainty. In today's economy, a lot of us are uncomfortable with uncertainty. The job market makes us uncomfortable with uncertainty. But Joseph proves himself in that he became comfortable with uncertainty. And the third point, because he became comfortable with uncertainty, he was able to become adaptable to the unexpected. Because of his he became comfortable with uncertainty. Because of that, third point, he was able to become adaptable to the unexpected. I submit to you this morning that when we have this combination of being comfortable with uncertainty and adaptable to the unexpected, natural laws become defied. This is the recipe where messiahs are born. Miracles, signs, and wonders take place when we express this level of faith in God. And so in closing, I submit to you that when we do these things unto God's glory, it places us just a few miles from a miracle. Just a few miles from a miracle. Will you pray with me now? Gracious God, indeed, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we thank you so much for the life, the leadership, and the legacy that Joseph left for us to follow in. God, give us this level and depth of faith. Give us, O Lord, this level and depth of trust. Not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in you with all of our heart and to lean not to our own understanding. Lord, there may be someone here today who is juxtaposed with a similar challenge, not knowing what to do. Flesh is pulling them one way. Spirit is pulling them the other way. God, give them a peace that you are with us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Open their hearts now to receive you fully as Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, we thank you now for all things. And the people of God agreed in prayer and said, Amen. Amen.